Thank you. Beautiful song, a beautiful reminder. God is in control of everything. The good things that happen in our life, the bad things in our life. I was thinking about reading the whole story of Joseph, but then I thought, you got to know your audience a little bit, and I think you probably know that story very well. So I'm just taking a snapshot of it when Joseph and his brothers gathered around upon discovering that Joseph, the brother they sold into slavery and marked off as dead, was alive and was in charge. So some from Genesis 45, 5 through 8, then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, the one you sold into slavery. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." What the most shocking revelation ever. If you were Joseph's brother, it might be the most terrifying thing you ever heard. But then to be reminded, not that, what they did was just, but that God did this for a purpose. Keep your eyes fixed on that. Isaiah 40 is the next passage that I would like to read, and I'm just, again, going to pick up a few snapshots of it. I'm going to begin at verse 15 through 18 and then 28 through 31, where Isaiah says, "Surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If you pay attention to headline news, and most of it is negative, we seem to like to focus on the negative, you understand that there's a lot going on in the world at large. Wars in Iran continue to grab the headlines and wondering what's going to happen there. Ukraine and Russia continue the ongoing battle. Sending drones out now are changing the way that we're doing war. It's just it's impressive at one level, but it's also very unsettling to see where this is going. We hear about the dangers of AI and what that could do to a whole generation. And just to make the point clear, we were walking through Freidert's last week, and there is a little one of those Zambonis, the cleaning the floor, you know, those little self-cleaners. And I thought, well, there's somebody lost their job. Tried to get Sylvia to take a picture of me behind it, but then the machine started talking to me, like, "Stand back." I thought, okay, I'm not going to touch you, but you wonder, where is that all going? You know, from what's happening in the world, what's happening, you hear all about elections, you know, that Oh, if this candidate gets in, that's going to be the end of our nation. Or if that candidate gets in, it's going to be the end of our nation. And you hear all of that going on. There's floods that happen spontaneously. And you wonder what is going to happen there. Then you think of the most mundane activities. I had my oatmeal concoction 3 times this week. I got up in the morning and like clockwork, I went and I ate my oatmeal and it was wonderful, just as good as the last time I made it. It's mundane. God takes care of the big picture. God knows every breath. Now you can put your own story into that mix too. What happened that gave you joy this week that just caused your heart to swell? God gave that. What happened to you that just made you stop? I didn't see this coming. It's so shocking and it just makes me have a hard time falling asleep. God is in control of that. And what we are reminded of in this biblical summary of God's providence is that God rules over everything that happens. Do you believe that? I mean, really, do you believe that God is in charge of all of this? Not just as a proposition, I know this in my head, but really, that I believe this so strongly that it determines how I live my day with confidence, how I face the next challenge, knowing that here I am holding my Father's hand and He's leading me. He rules and governs over everything. Do you really believe this? See, when I think of the providence of God, my mind goes to some scripture passages, and I'm assuming that you'll be able to go right to these stories too. Jesus asleep on a boat while the storm is raging all around. Or think of Peter, arrested, chained, sleeping so hard, content, because God is in charge, that the angel had to really hit him to wake him up. He thought he was dreaming. Or you think about Joseph, as we read tonight, chained in prison and yet thriving. We don't know the whole story of Joseph's life, but here he was unjustly in another land as a prisoner. And rather than just giving up, I'm going to do the best I can here in Potiphar's house until Mrs. Potiphar come along. And again, unjustly, he goes in. How can he keep his faith in that? Lord, am I not? What about those dreams you gave me? And it didn't happen the way he had planned it. It had to have been just excruciating. I mean, we see the whole picture. We know the end of the story, so we go there quickly. But can you imagine being Joseph? Now he's in prison again. All this, what's going on here? There's no control. My life is just out of control. Ah, a glimmer of hope again. The cupbearer and the butler get together. They're having bad dreams. Joseph helps them out. And it turns out exactly like he had told them it would. Don't forget me, he said to the cupbearer. The cupbearer forgot about him. 2 years later, he's still in prison, and yet prison thrived under Joseph's presence. So there it is, all those circumstances. You see them, in some ways, they did not lose their sleep. They did not let go of their hope because God is in charge, absolute charge of everything. The psalmist verbalizes this well. That's Psalm 46, where the psalmist says, God is our refuge and our strength, our very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. What a catastrophic event, and yet we will not fear because God is our refuge and our strength. Do I trust him so much that I do not doubt that he's going to provide for whatever I need, body and soul, in life and in death? What a great help this biblical teaching of God's providence has been to people through the years, to parents, grandparents, to governors, kings. And think of patients who have found their strength in this truth when the diagnosis comes in. You think of martyrs on their way to execution. They held fast to that truth. God, you are in control. Young people, married couples, families, communities, leaning on this doctrine for their strength. See, it's one thing to see this kind of trust displayed in the life of others, but do we own it as our own? A picture of providence. The universe is not only dependent on God for its origin, but for its ongoing continued existence. It can't exist without God. He holds all things by his power. The universe needs God every moment. It's in him alone that we live and move and have our being. I think of two isms that have grown up in history. Deism on the one hand, which believes that God sort of got everything started and he's distant, watching things go, everything kind of like clockwork happens, but he has nothing to do with it. That's deism. And most people don't know what this means, but yet how many people live like that is the reality? They claim belief in God, but it's a God who's uncaring and distant. This very God, he may name every star, but he doesn't care about our ordinary everyday life, about the exact breath that you take. If you get up right away when your alarm goes off, if you put too much water in your oatmeal and it's soft and mushy, he cares about that. He is in charge of all that as well. And perhaps they say God is the generator, but our job is to run the machine, and we get into trouble. At the other end of this is another ism that's called pantheism, which just believes that God is everything. He is so closely associated with his creation that he's not even separated from it. God is the universe. He is you. He is me. He is the flowers. He's the trees, all thing. Not a personal God at all. He's beyond creation, but he's himself a part of creation. That's New Age Hinduism. Many people who promote natural medicines and organic gardenings are saying this. Get in touch with it. We are all God in some sense, and God is in everything. Well, this says very clearly, God is above his creation. He's above nature. He's the giver of the natural laws. He also commands the earth to rotate, the geese to migrate. And he also is the loving God who is so in tune with our needs that he knows exactly what's best for me. And he'll provide what I need most before I even know it. God is in complete control of nature. Matthew 5 says he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Psalm 104:14 says he makes the grass grow for the cattle, plants for man to cultivate cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. God is in charge of all that. He not only rules over nature, but over all nations. In this day, we see many people that seem out of control in the Middle East, Iran, Ukraine, London, Canada, Nigeria, New Mexico, Venezuela, United States. People do unexpected things for unexplainable reasons. And yet, as Paul said in Acts 17, from one man, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact place where they should live. Daniel 2, Daniel affirmed that, saying, God changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. That's what he said to Nebuchadnezzar. And then later on, when Nebuchadnezzar took that to heart and built himself a statue, and then he decided, he was looking around, and he says, what a beautiful kingdom I have built. And then Daniel had to come to him and tell him, nope, you're going to have a nervous breakdown, basically, until the day that you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. If you know that story in Nebuchadnezzar, eventually, or in Daniel, eventually Nebuchadnezzar came to that point. God not only controls nations, but he controls individuals. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles, he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He sets them with princes and has them inherit the throne of honor. That's what Hannah said in her prayer, and that's the truth about God. He controls individuals, even the free actions of people. The things that we do, it says in Proverbs 16, the Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for the day of disaster. And Philippians 2, 13, it is God who works in you to will and act according to his good purposes. People may imagine that we're in control, but we're not. God controls all things. Most people are okay with the idea that God is big and powerful, but we tend to think of him a little bit more like the wizard in The Wizard of Oz. He's a good man, but a very bad wizard who can't really control everything. If God controls everything that I do, then how can I be blamed for what I do? How would you answer that? What do you do with the presence of sin and evil? The fact that somebody can be out going for groceries normally and suddenly gets hit and taken out at an early age. What do you do with that? Could not God have controlled that? Maybe a better frame is it's certainly part of the fall. But it's all under God's control. We don't know the reasons for that. But I also have to confess, there are times when I disobey God's will. And the Bible declares God is sovereign, and yet I am responsible and accountable to him. The story of Joseph shows that even the worst acts of his brothers, even the most rude thing that Potiphar's wife could have done to him, lied about him, even the ignorance of the cupbearer, all of these were used by God for Joseph's. It built his character for sure, But there was an exact point in time when God said, all of these things are going to come together. And then we see the end of the stories with his brothers in front of him. All the jealousy and the hatred and the malice that had brought him to this point is all under God's control. So, some things that we need to remind ourselves continually. Number one, God does indeed accomplish his purpose through mysterious ways. Secondly, I love how the Catechism says that we need to be patient when things go against us. It is by God's grace that Joseph endured his sufferings. And in time, he could see that what was designed as evil against him was a tool in God's hand for greater good. So be patient when things go against you, when things don't come out the way you imagine they should. And at the same time, be thankful when things go well. Are you a thankful person? Are you a person who, at the end of the day, is able to say, you know, Lord, it was a good day. Not everything went as I planned, but it was good, and here's what I want to thank you for. We need to do that. Be thankful more often. Highlight that more. And be confident for the future. The God who has led us this far is not going to be a God who forgets us tomorrow. No, he has a plan, an exact plan for our life. And we don't know what part our lives are going to play in his bigger, larger story. But it may be a small role that we play. We may be like a Simeon who arrives on the scene for one small line and then he departs and we don't hear from him again. But it was all part of God's plan. Or we can have that kind of impact that just generations after generations continue to be impacted by our decisions. So you may not fully understand what your life is all about and the outcome. But one day Jesus Christ will return. When you see him face to face and we get to meet, I think our life will make a little more sense. I'm not saying that we'll have all the answers that we ask now. We may just be like Job, who wanted an audience with God. Lord, tell me why. What sin have I committed? Why did this have to happen to me? Why didn't you do that instead? I just want an audience with you, God. So God gave him an audience. And what did Job say? I repent in dust and ashes. I did not know what I was saying. And he still didn't know at the end of his life. And that's okay. It won't matter at that point. It's going to be all right. Think of that picture. A father, grandfather, holding the hand, and that grandson just trustingly walking with him. It's a beautiful picture. Do not fear, God says to us. I'm going to provide for you, little ones. Be comforted as Joseph comforted his brothers and provided for them. God was going to provide for us too. I hope you can take courage from that. We all need that from time to time, and we need to say that to one another again. So remind me of this sermon when I'm feeling sorry for myself and thinking, where's God? You remind me. It's going to be okay, Pastor. You're going to be all right. Amen? Amen. Father in heaven, I thank you that you are in absolute control of all things. You uphold all of creation. You guide all things to their highest good. Thank you that we can count on you to provide everything that we need. Maybe not everything we want, but that's okay. We don't always know what we want. You've given us so many blessings. I guess we could ask for one more. Please give us the gift of a grateful heart now and every day of our lives. It's in your name we pray this, Jesus. Amen.